Thank you, Peter. Good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. A special welcome to each and every one of you, and a special welcome to anyone who's visiting our church today. But I'm going to come to that in just a second. First of all, Gwen and Mick Earle, 2 weeks ago, celebrated their diamond wedding anniversary, their 60th, and they kept quiet about it, but we found out, so congratulations. Big congratulations from your whole church family to Gwen and Mick. Congratulations, that's great. And talking about visitors to our church, I don't need to tell you, do I, about the couple who are visiting today, Frank and Jean. Frank and Jean, who have had an association with this church family since the beginning of time. It's great to see them, and I'm going to invite them to come on up here and say hello to everyone. Come on, Frank and Jean, it's great to see you.
Thank you, Ian. You might as well go sit down there now.
Do you need the order of service?
No. I'll make it up as I go along. We're delighted to be back.
Yep.
I'd see everybody looking so good. We're really, really, and seeing all the kids. Gene and I have retired as of the end of June. We're moving to Iroquois, which is straight south of Ottawa. We thought of coming back to Alberta, but you're too damn expensive back here. We could have bought a lot for what we bought a house for.
Iroquois is where Ben and Sandra live, and we're just around the corner from our grandsons, so
yes.
That's going to be kind of special.
Yep. Yeah. So I preached my last service 2 weeks ago, which was fun.
Yeah.
But I always have a sermon ready, so if you'll open your Bibles.
If any of you want our new address and phone number, I do have a little slip of paper I can give you if you're interested. We're not moving until towards the end of September, but that's where we'll be. We'll be in Iroquois, on the seaway, overlooking the seaway, watching the boats go through.
That's right.
So we're excited.
And just by the way, just because we give you our address, and Lita said, I hope I hear more from this new address than I heard from the old one. And I said, the odds are against it.
And we wish Frank and Jean very much health and happiness in their retirement. And you'll always be loved here, because Frank and Jean are the people who were for 17 years with this church family. And it is Frank and Jean who saw this church family through the most turbulent years that it has ever experienced. And you will always have the love and the gratitude of this church family, Frank and Jean. And we love to see you. Are you coming back every year? Maybe.
Certainly, if somebody sends us here.
It's great to see you both here, and we just love having you. And Dale, over to you.
Thank you. Good morning. Announcements, Mustard Seed this Wednesday, the 19th. Radiant Life Community Church out in Campbell River, B.C. Pastor Ian and Iris are going to be worshiping with them in late August. If you wish to make a donation to their ministry, which is to the street people of their community, you may do so through your church envelopes. And it says mark them special with Radiant Life. Canadian Bible Society, if you're looking to buy a Bible or a devotional book, Reverend Graves will be at our church next Sunday on the 23rd with a display of Bibles and books. Don McNaughton will present the message on Sunday, August 30th, when Ian's away. In the entranceway, you'll see a red tub now with a list posted above it, and it's a list, looks like this, of school supplies that children in need may have a hard time coming up with or may be in need. So if you want to donate some of these items, there's things like Venus pencils, white erasers, scissors, glue sticks, some basic stuff like that. There's also a note about graphing calculators. Now, they're very expensive, but some may have had students that have now graduated and no longer using them, and they're just laying around the house. Maybe they need a battery or something. Those would be welcome for high school kids because they're quite a pricey item new. So if you have any of the items on this list and you want to buy some of them to donate to that box, that would be great. Then they'll be given to the school, and then if there's kids in need that can't come up with their own supplies, then they'll be handed out to them. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dale. You know, when Iris and I first came to Canada, we were kind of staggered by the amount of money it costs to send your kids to school. You know, because not only do you have to equip them with everything from a pencil through to all the technical stuff that they need, but you also got to pay these big school fees and all that kind of thing. And I think some of the expenses that families face, you know, if you've got more than one kid in your family, and many people have, and you've got to find all this money, then it's hard. And we know that there's quite a number of our church members who are teachers or involved in the school system, and they advise us, you know, that some families struggle. And it's not just the initial supply, things wear out, you know, and it's replacing them as they go along. So if we can do something like this, then it gives the school a backup supply, if you like, to help those families who are really struggling. I want to give you one advance notice. As Christmas approaches, as Christmas approaches, we are going to be doing a display of nativity scenes here in our church. And the plan is to do it on the same day that Cremona has its Winterfest.
First Saturday,
that's the thing that used to be called Christmas, you know, but it's Winterfest now. So on that same day, to try and get Christmas back into it, our church, we're going to do a display of nativity scenes. And they are going to be provided by your good selves. So think ahead. Think ahead to your nativity scenes and where you've got them stored away. And you might want to get them out a little bit sooner. But that's just an advance notice. More on that as we move along. Are there any more announcements? We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. The theme of our worship this morning is wisdom, the wisdom of the Lord. And our call to worship comes from Psalm 111, verse 10. And it says this: fear or respect of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey his commands will grow in wisdom. Praise him forever. Worship team, thank you.
Good morning. Our first chorus this morning is Amazing Grace, sung to a different tune. You've heard us sing it a few times, and I'm sure you'll recognize the tune once we start. So if you could please rise and join us in Amazing Grace.
Our branch that feeds Christ that taught my heart to fear, and it was grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already gladly come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will be.
Beautiful way to start the day. Our next chorus is Not to Us. Or is that correct?
Yep. Yes.
Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name bring praise. How great you are, how great your fame, how marvelous your holy name. We are but servants who proclaim your perfection and your praise. Your ever just and gracious ways, how excellent you are, O Lord. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name bring praise. How great you are, how great your fame, how marvelous your holy name. We are but servants who proclaim your perfection and your praise. Your ever just and gracious ways, how excellent you are, O Lord. How great you are, how great your fame, how marvelous your holy name. We are but servants who proclaim your perfection and your praise. Your ever just and gracious ways, how excellent you are, O Lord.
And our final chorus this morning is Faithful One.
Faithful One, so unchanging, ageless One, you're my rock of peace, Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again. I call out to you again and again. are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, your love. Again and again, I call out to you, again and again. You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. Through the storm, your love is the anchor. My hope is in you alone.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, our loving Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks, Lord, that you have given to each of us this morning this great privilege, this great joy of being able to come into your house on this your day to worship you. And we know why we are here, Lord. We are here because you have called each of us individually. And we are thankful that we have heard your voice. Because we know, Lord, that within us we have a need, we have a yearning to come to the one who created us, who created this whole world in which we live, to bow down and to worship you, Father. And so we pray, Lord, in this time of worship that you will accept the praise that we bring. Help us, Lord, and hear us as we seek to lift high the name of Jesus, as we seek to bring honor and glory to the name which is above every name. And we pray, gracious Father, that you will help us to have open hearts and open minds, that we might hear you as you speak to us in every aspect of this time of worship. We come to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, and we pray as Jesus taught us, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. The Old Testament reading this morning is 1 Kings 3, 5-14. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, Ask for whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered, You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Please join me in reading the responsive reading. Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation.
The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in him. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever.
He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant.
He has declared to his people the power of his works, in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure.
They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever, holy and awesome in his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever.
It's always good to have our worship team up front here. It's not quite so lonely when they're here with me. Thank you. And we appreciate their music and their musical leadership. And so we look forward now to special music from our worship team.
So our special music today is one called Lord, You Have My Heart.
Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice. I will praise you, Lord, and as will serve my faith, and as you show your face, we'll see your glory. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice. I will pray. And as you show your face, we'll see your glory here. We'll see your glory
here. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Almighty God, our Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now and we bring these our gifts, which are but humble tokens of our gratitude. And we ask you, Father, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. The children would like to come and join me, please.
do you think this is?
It's a present.
A present? Okay. Why do you give people presents?
In case it's their birthday or if it's Christmas.
So if it's their birthday and it's Christmas, they get a present, okay?
And you can get more toys every day.
That's right. We are very fortunate, aren't we? We get all kinds of things.
And that we have their birthday.
That's right. That's right. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, and I want you to come with me. Do we give presents to everybody who has a birthday?
Yeah.
Everybody? Every single person, is that right? Okay, whose birthday is it? Julia's just had a birthday. What did you give Julia as a present? What did they give you, Julia? Let me ask the question again. Do you give a present to everybody who has a birthday?
Yeah.
No, you don't. You didn't give anything to Julia. Poor Julia got nothing. Absolute nothing, Julia. So we give gifts to people who are very special to us, aren't we? People who we love, who are close to us, and we give them a nice gift. Now then. When God made all of you, he also gave you gifts.
And he also gave us a birthday when we were born.
Stay with me. You're right, he did. But he gave you all gifts. And before he finished you off and said, that's another one finished, he lined you all up and he said, Sophie, they're your gifts. Caleb, they're your gifts. And they went right, God went right down the line and he gave you all gifts. And after you were born, as you grew and developed, you start to find out what all the gifts are that God gave you. What kind of gifts do you think God gave you? What?
Eyeballs.
Oh, eyeballs. Well, that was a nice gift to have sight, to be able to see. That was a nice gift, you're right. A heart. Oh, that's a good gift. Has anybody not got one of those, a heart? Put your hand up if you don't have a heart. Good, everybody's got one, yeah. Love. Love for God and love for one another and love. Yeah, that's a good gift. Good gift. Anything else? Who was playing the piano while the offering was being taken? Well, Nana plays, yes. And who else was... Yeah. They were playing because they have a special gift.
And that's skills.
And what?
Skills.
Skills. What kind of skills does Nana have and Auntie Laurie? What kind of skills do they have? What do we call their skill? Begins with an M and it ends in music.
Music.
Yeah. Good. They've been given the gift of music. God's given them that wonderful gift. They can sit down and they can play instruments and they can make lovely music. And have you ever heard me play the piano? No, and you never will. But everybody's got special gifts. Now then, there was a man who once lived called Johann Sebastian Bach. Now you probably don't know him because he died 250 years ago. So even I can't remember him. Died a long, long time ago. But he also had the gift of music. And every time he wrote a piece of music, he used to write at the end of the piece of music three letters. S-D-G. S-D-G. Anybody know what that means? It means Soli Deo Gloria. Now what does that mean? Because it's Latin. I'll tell you what it means. Every time he wrote a piece of music, he put these letters, and what they mean is, to God alone be the glory. Because he acknowledged that God gave him this wonderful gift of music, so everything he wrote, he said, to God alone be the glory. So when we have our gifts from God, we should remember those letters, to God alone be the glory, S-D-G, Soli Deo Gloria. I don't expect you to remember that. But I expect all of us to remember to what? To give God the
yes.
Glory. For the gifts. That's right. Okay, so let's say a little prayer together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that when you made each and every one of us, you lined us up and you gave us all a great, wonderful bundle of gifts. And we pray now, gracious Father, as we discover our gifts, that you will help us to give God alone the glory. We pray in your holy name. Amen. You got anything? Thank you.
I don't know how she does it. So we're going to try to keep the bubbling for the Lord going as we stand and we sing to God's glory that great old hymn of faith, Praise to the Lord the Almighty, hymn number 8. What a great old hymn that is. And I kind of get the feeling that everybody enjoys singing those great old hymns of faith. Those of you who get the upper room scripture reading little booklets will probably recall that yesterday it was a little story of a person who wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and all of the problems of the previous day start going through the mind. You've been there, haven't you? I think we've all been there. And I forget whether it was a man or a lady, and they were saying about, you know, you're thinking through all this, and then you feel so tired, and you think, I've got to get to sleep, I've got to get up in the morning, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And the more you try to get to sleep, the more these problems keep whirling around in your mind. And then this person said, the thought comes in there yet again, take it to the Lord in prayer. And so this person said, I listed all of these problems and I told God about every single one. And at the end of it, she said, and I'll just leave it there at the cross. Every single one, listed them all. And they said, you know, before I got to the end of that list, the alarm was going off and it was time to get up in the morning. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And you know, it's a huge gift that God has given to all of us. A huge gift. And maybe we should just say, those who are wise, use this gift. Let us bow our heads and let us join together in prayer. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, this time that you give us, to each one of us, is precious time. In this time, Lord, we are granted a glimpse of the eternal. In this time, we are able to feed upon your word and drink from the spring of everlasting life. We thank you, Lord, for this, and we pray at this time that we might be a people who might have a heart of wisdom, and a people who fill themselves each day with the bread of heaven that you so freely and lovingly provide for us. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of the shortness of this time that we have upon this earth, and to so live in your presence that we might be found righteous before you. Grace our hands with kindness, our hearts with compassion, and our minds with goodness, and our wills with a holy resolve to do your will. Lord, make us instruments of your salvation and channels of your peace. We pray, gracious Father, for others around us whom we meet on a daily basis, that your wisdom may touch them, that they too may eat of the bread that truly satisfies, and to drink of the water from which they will never ever thirst again. We pray, Lord, for the spiritual awakening of those who seek life where it cannot be found, and for those who are frustrated with their own frantic search for peace in their own hearts and minds, and those people, Lord, who are unhappy in life and they do not understand why. We remember before you, Father, those who are lost, those who are lonely. And we rejoice, Lord, today as we gather in worship with our church family. We give thanks and we pray for each home represented here today. And we ask, Father, that your grace and your peace may rest upon each of them. We pray, Lord, for those from whom we are separated at this time, either by distance or by words and actions. May friends and families be united by your love and by your gracious care. And we pray now, Lord, in silence, that you will give hope and cause for rejoicing to those who have heavy hearts at this time, those who are sick in body, mind, or spirit. And we bring them now to you, Father, in the silence and in the beauty of holiness. We pray in silence. We pray for your peace, Father, upon all of our homes and especially in all of our hearts. Go with us, gracious Lord, as we go our separate ways from this holy place. Inspire us by your Spirit that all that we say and all that we do may bring honor and glory to the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is in his wonderful name that we come now, Lord, and we bring all of these our prayers. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning again. Our gospel reading is from St. John chapter 6, verses 51 to 58. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply amongst themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. And the epistle reading is Ephesians 5, 15 to 20. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand that the Lord's will is, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And Paul, in that letter to the Ephesians, says, sing and make music to the Lord. And we're going to do just that now as we stand and we sing to God's glory. Come, Christians, join to sing. Hymn 108.
Christ our King, Alleluia, Amen.
Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to test your memories here. A few years ago, I told you about two types of birds that regularly fly across the North American deserts. And those of you who have really good memories will remember that those two birds are the hummingbird, and the other one is the vulture. Quite a contrast there. The vultures find the rotting meat of the desert, and they find that because that's what they're looking for. They thrive on that diet. But hummingbirds ignore the smelly flesh of dead animals that are lying around there, and instead they look for the colourful blossoms of the desert plants. The vultures live on what was. They live on the past. They fill themselves with what is dead and gone. But hummingbirds, they live on what is. They seek new life. They fill themselves with freshness and life. Each bird finds what it is looking for. And we all do. We all do. And that is the essence of what St. Paul is teaching in today's epistle reading from the Ephesians, from Ephesians 5:15-20. Paul is basically telling us that in life there are two types of people, or two types of birds, if you like. The one type looks for foolishness and stupidity, and the other one looks for wisdom. The vulture people seek to fill themselves with the rotting flesh of drunkenness and debauchery, whereas the hummingbird type of person, with soberness, with freshness, and the Spirit of God. In the deserts of this world in which we live, you have your scavengers who are continually angry with life. They are perpetually ungrateful. But you also, thankfully, have those who hum a grateful hymn of praise and thanksgiving. And the irony is that in life, you always find what you are looking for. You always find what you are looking for. So St. Paul says, be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And so really, Paul here is talking about wisdom. About wisdom. In our reading from the Psalms, we read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, which means respecting the awesome majesty of God, the creator of the world, the creator of each and every one of us, respecting that fact is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom. In the Gospel reading from St. John 6, the Lord Jesus reminds us that those who are wise will remain connected to him via the communion in the bread and the wine of the Eucharist, the Holy Communion. Only in this way, Jesus says, can we experience real life. Life in its fullness and in its freshness, and ultimately life eternal. So we're talking a lot here about wisdom. So it's important that we understand what wisdom is. It is not the accumulation of facts or even experience. This is simply growing in knowledge. Many people make the mistake of thinking that they are wiser because they've been around a long time, they've acquired a lot of knowledge and a lot of grey hair. But that's what you call growing old. But listen to Webster's definition of wisdom. You might recognize it, actually. Wisdom is the ability to discern or judge what is true, right or lasting. And we'll discover in a moment where Webster's got that definition from. So Paul is correct then when he tells his readers in verse 17, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Wisdom primarily discerns between what is right and what is wrong. Wisdom insists that there is evil in the world, and they seek the will of God. That is wisdom. So now back to the Old Testament reading. King Solomon has just been made king of Israel. And God has appeared to Solomon and has, in effect, given Solomon the choice of whatever gift he wants. Okay, Solomon, got a gift for you. What do you want? What would you like? Wouldn't that be great, eh? What would you like? God comes along. Okay, whatever you want, you can have it. Take note. Solomon did not ask for wisdom. Solomon did not ask for wisdom. This is what he did ask for. Give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. That's what he asked for. A discerning heart to govern the people and to distinguish between right and wrong. And God granted Solomon his wish, and it was God who called it wisdom. It was God who called it wisdom. A discerning heart to distinguish between right and wrong. That is wisdom. Now, where do you think Webster's got their definition from? Because it ties right in with what the Bible says here. Same thing. Be careful how you walk, says St. Paul. Not as fools, but as wise. Now, occasionally, we all do things that are maybe a bit foolish, maybe a bit silly, but usually they're just little mistakes, little hiccups. On one occasion, Prince Charles and Lady Diana were visiting South Australia, and they were walking freely amongst the crowds when Diana made for a group of young children, as she frequently did. How many times did we see her down on talking to the kids? And so she went to the young boy and affectionately patted him on the head and tousled his hair, and she says, "Why aren't you in school today?" And he says, "I was sent home because I've got head lice." Can you just imagine Lady Di trying to carefully wipe her hand on her frock? Now that's just an unfortunate mistake. It's not foolishness and it's not a lack of wisdom. But we are really talking here about the kind of foolishness that is deadly serious to one's ultimate destination, that leads a person to losing their soul and condemning themselves to an eternity of hell. That is foolishness. And that is not what God wants for each and every one of us. He wants us all. He created us all to have eternal life. Dr. E. Stanley Jones was a 20th century Methodist theologian. And he talked about foolishness, the foolishness of those who believe that they are exempt from life's physical and moral laws. This is what he wrote. The universe is not indifferent to your virtue and your vice. It takes sides. It is a universe where you get either results or consequences. If you work with the moral universe, you will get results. It will back you, it will sustain you and further you. You will have cosmic backing for your way of life. You will get results. But if you go against the moral universe, you will get consequences. You will be up against reality. You will get frustrated. Some people go through life getting results. Others get consequences. You are free to choose. But you are not free to choose the results or the consequences of your choices. They are in other hands. You do not break these laws written into the nature of things. You break yourself on them. break them and you get broken. Unquote. How many more broken lives, broken marriages, broken bodies will it take before people get wise to that one elementary truth? That is why morality has been around for a long time, because it works. And those who live a morally upright life live a good life and find satisfaction in their living. Wisdom is to be able to discern between right and wrong and to seek God's will. So Paul says, be careful how you walk, be wise, be sober, and be thankful. A man goes to see his rabbi and he complains, life is unbearable. There are 9 of us all living in one room. What can I do? And the rabbi answers, take your goat into the room with you. And the man is in skeptical disbelief, but the rabbi insists, do as I say, take the goat in, come back in a week, and I'll talk to you then. The goat was very happy. A week later, the man came back looking even more distraught than before. We cannot stand it, he tells the rabbi. This goat is disgusting, it is filthy. So the rabbi tells him, go home and let the goat out and come back in a week. And the man returns a week later and he was radiant and he explains, life is beautiful. We enjoy every minute of it. Now there is no goat, only the 9 of us. Life is good. And it's all a matter of perspective, isn't it? How do we look at things? How do we see things? We can be grateful, or we can be bitter and resentful. We can seek wisdom, or we can live as fools. We can soberly learn what the Lord's will is for our lives, or we can live the foolish and the aimless life of the drunkard. What are you looking for in life? Whatever it is you're looking for, you will find it. 2 birds fly over the North American deserts, the hummingbird and the vulture. The vultures roam the desert and they find the rotting meat because that's what they're looking for. But hummingbirds ignore the smelly flesh of dead animals. They look for the colourful blossoms of desert plants. The vultures live on what is past. They live on what was. They fill themselves with what is dead and with what is gone. Hummingbirds live on what is. They seek new life. They fill themselves with freshness and with life. Both birds find what they are looking for. So will you. We all do. Thanks be to God. Amen. Is my backing group come and join me again? We're going to stand and we're going to sing that great old hymn of faith. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. Let's stand and sing to God's glory.
I am weak, but thou art.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love, this day and forevermore. Thank you.